Welcome back, guys. Dave Glover Show on KMOX. Hopefully you enjoyed the Halloween hour there. Tomorrow we'll do it again on Halloween proper. Between 3 and 4 p.m., we will present to you some listener stories, people who called in to Andrew and said, I've got a pretty spooky ghost story, and we talked to them, and they really did, and we had them come in and record it. Really good stuff. Right now, we welcome back to the show Crystal Quaid, who is the Democratic candidate for the governorship. Crystal, great to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks for having me back on.
So you've been on a couple of times, but for people who may have missed it, give us a couple minutes on your background.
Yeah, so I grew up in rural Southwest Missouri. I come from a regular working class family. My mom literally waited tables my whole life. My dad drove almost an hour into the closest town to work in a factory. And because of their support, and the very first of my family graduate from high school, went on to become a social worker, and I've done some work in the political space as part of my career, working for the United States Senate before coming back to Springfield to become a social worker and beginning my family. And I ran for the state house starting in 2016, and I've been serving in Jefferson City for the last 8 years and six of them as the Democratic leader before jumping into this race.
So as a fellow lower middle class kid, you must be very, very proud.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm very proud of, you know, what I've been able to accomplish. But, you know, what's more important about that is I got involved because I knew we needed more people with regular lives making decisions for people. You know, it's so important to have lawmakers and people in leadership positions understanding the struggles that regular working class folks are going through, and there's just not enough of us, and that's why I got involved to begin with.
I'll give you another compliment. We're all being inundated, yourself as well. Anytime you turn on the television with the political ads, and I found yours to be the most positive and the most about you as opposed to your opponent, so well done.
Oh, well, thank you for that. You know, I think after the Republican primaries, I know the rest of the state was very just done with the flamethrowers and the lies. And, you know, we need to get back to talking about votes that people have taken and who we are as candidates.
So, Crystal, I know you've had your finger on the pulse of Missouri for many, many years now, but what, if anything, have you learned by canvassing across the whole state during this campaign?
You know, it's been a really affirming experience to travel the state and go to, you know, every corner, whether it is our urban cities or down to some of the most rural counties in Missouri, and talk to folks about what their needs are right now. And everywhere I go, I'm hearing about where our state is failing, whether it's the Medicaid wait times when people are trying to get in, the fact that they don't have access to internet or hospitals, or people who are worried about our public school systems. You know, a lot of these nonpartisan issues that people know the state of Missouri hasn't been doing well in, and they want better.
So I know it's kind of a cheese question, but I'm very curious. The whole, like, on day one, I'll do this and I'll do that. But as a governor, you are kind of herding cats, right? And you're trying to oversee everything. But you personally, when you get in there and you sit at that desk, what's your agenda for the first few weeks that you would really like to get something going?
Yeah, you know, there's, of course, legislative things that I want to do in coordination with the House and Senate. And I think there's a lot of places where we can work together across the aisle, whether it's childcare or healthcare access, again, or public schools. But on day one, you know, every state agency, every agency that Missouri citizens interact with fall under the purview of the governor. And so one of the first things that we need to do is get in there and make sure that our state is meeting the basic promises we give to people, whether it's not having to wait for an hour plus at the DMV or making sure that our roads and bridges are actually upright and not collapsing. You know, all of those agencies fall under the governor's office. And so I'm going to work really hard, not just with the directors, but the frontline workers, and find out what's working and what's not, and make it better.
Anything that you were labeled with or hit with during the campaign that you would like a chance to say to the KMOX audience, that's either not true or it's at least an overstatement?
Yeah, I mean, every year we know that this stereotypes are going to be the same. And especially as a Democrat in Missouri, you know, whether it's that I'm running for the state house or for the governor's office, you know, it's the same rhetoric that they're using at the national level. What I will say that has been really disappointing about this race is you know, there's an ad out there that's been put up by the other side that calls to attention the police officer in St. Louis who passed away due to a car accident, and the individual who was driving was undocumented. And there are text messages and this commercial going around that are essentially blaming the Democrats for this. And honestly, like, it's just really disappointing that we are bringing up such a tragedy, especially for families and friends who this is so new and so fresh. And again, we need to get back to campaigns that are about actual policy positions, actual votes, and the candidates themselves, and stop bringing in other people who shouldn't be a part of the discussion.
Yeah, fair enough. Crystal Quaid is with us, running on the Democrat side for the governorship of Missouri. So, Crystal, just take a minute or two and kind of deliver your closing statement here.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to come back on and say hi to folks. And, you know, my closing really for this campaign in the final days is that I know we deserve better than what we've been getting, whether it's the fact that we are the lowest paid education and teachers in the country, or, as mentioned, you know, folks can't get through to get any sort of help or even a live person from the state. And we can do better than that. And we've got to elect folks who are not part of the status quo, who want to focus the investments of our state directly on the people and not our largest campaign donors or folks who owe us favors, you know, but really digging in and do the work. And I'm offering something different.
Crystal, thank you very much. Good luck to you on Tuesday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
I don't know about you guys, but being in this rare position, not unique, but rare, to meet and talk to Mike Kehoe, Crystal Quaid, Lucas Coons, Jared Young, I've been very impressed. I like them all.
It's kind of nice when the people, I mean, I know we don't, you know, not everybody's willing to come on and, you know, they don't want to deal with the scary Dave Glover show.
Sure. You don't want that kind of smoke.
But it does show you that there are plenty of normies out there. But what Crystal, one of the things Crystal just said, that's just, it's always frustrating to me when you're talking about local or statewide races where people are running on national politics. It doesn't really have anything to do with what you're doing in your county or in your city or even at the state level. How about we talk about the things that are handled at that level? And by the way, I think Mike Kehoe did a lot of that. And Crystal obviously has done that, which is why it's easy to look at both of them and understand they both are thinking about things that are doable at the state level and not things you can't control. Running on national politics is not something you're going to be able to change as a governor.
Rach, I know you voted today, early voting. Well done. Was your personal interactions with the people that we've had on the show and you've had on your show a big factor in your votes?
That's a good question. I mean, I'll be honest with, like, Lucas Coontz. I feel like if I hadn't met him in person, I would have been like, well, this guy has no shot. It's Missouri. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I really did enjoy my interactions with him, and he just does seem like a very genuine person. But yeah, I try to just focus on, like, what's their message more than, like, oh, do I like you though? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel the same as you. I've felt very encouraged by the people that we have met, like Lucas and Jared and Crystal and Lieutenant Governor Kehoe. I like that they're willing to sit down and have just like a normal conversation. Yeah. That's very, very encouraging.
Without flamethrowers.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Like literal flamethrowers.
Which, which I think we can take a little bit of credit for here on the DGS. We're so different from most shows. Most shows have an agenda, and either you're interviewing your buddy or you're interviewing your enemy. And here it's just like, come on in. Mm-hmm. Talk to the people. Tell us what you think.
It's funny because the first time we had Mike Kehoe on was a day that you weren't in. And I thought the most important thing was to do the Dave thing, which is introduce the person and then say, you tell us your story. Tell us why, you know, tell us why people should vote for you. And that's how you start all of these. And that's how we start all of these, because that's what the point is. Right. The point isn't, hey, let's slap each other on the back and we're buddies, or hey, we're going to go. Now, that's fine, too. I would actually prefer the contra. I know you guys are going to really be shocked at this. I would really prefer the arguments rather than the backslap and we agree on everything, because in the debates, you should, if you're a candidate, you should be able to be challenged and win the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Stand up to the challenge and say, no, I've got this. I know what I'm talking about. I'm right. And that to me, and I know it's my personality that enjoys that kind of interaction, but I think you should be able to withstand hostile questioning and not lose your cool and still be able to make the point and win the debate with words. Anybody can just be with their buddies.
Yeah.
I think that's easy.
Yeah, I really wish Josh Hawley would have come on the show.
Me too.
I suppose there's still time.
We would have treated him very fairly.
I sent him an email about coming on my show. It was like a very long shot. I mean, you just don't hear anything back.
Yeah.
So.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 421. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So, do you think this is our last day in the mid-80s?
Oh, that's a great question. I do think we're going to have a fair amount of warm weather in November. I'm not going to go there yet.
Okay.
I don't want to go there yet.
Fair enough.
Because this is not a... It's going to get more active as far as the pattern is concerned,
yeah.
But it's not like these giant cold Canadian air masses. They're not ready to come down yet.
Okay. So you know how weird I am, and I can't find the moon. My latest thing is that I'm afraid that the wind's going to blow down these giant trees on my house. Tonight, I see that we're going to have some pretty good gusts with this front
yes.
rolling in.
Yep. Yeah, we have front coming in. Prime time is going to be 3 a.m. until about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. So about a 5-6 hour window of rain and thunderstorms. Some storms, not for everybody, but some storms could go strong. One or two could go severe. Heavy rain, certainly possible. Some gusty winds of maybe 45, 50 miles per hour possible in the stronger storms. A lot of thunder and lightning, and then it moves on. By 10 o'clock, it should be all done. Besides trees, I'm more concerned about some of the Halloween decorations that are outside. They, the big blow-up things, they could be rolling down the street. So you may want to think about that before you go to bed tonight. But it's quick in, quick out. Cooler tomorrow, 68 for the high, but falling into the 50s by late in the day. Trick-or-treat time, 49, 50 degrees, clear skies, dry, clear and cold Thursday night, 42. Friday, gorgeous day, though, a little bit cool, a little bit chilly in the morning, 62 for the high. Saturday, gorgeous, partly sunny, 66. Then a series of low-pressure systems coming in off the Pacific and headed our way will bring periods of rain and thunderstorms late Saturday night, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday. So election day, a little bit in question right now as far as how much rain we will see, but it could be a little bit on the unsettled side. And it could be that way for a good portion of the nation. So we'll start to fine tune that as we get into, Thursday afternoon and Friday. But it does look like we talked about the second season of thunderstorms in the long range forecast, that it would come towards the end of October instead of the middle of November. So
yeah.
That's right on schedule. Second season of thunderstorms is just a kind of a rebirth of the thunderstorm season that usually lasts a couple of weeks and then it is done. But it all has to do with the same thing with spring, of the battling air masses between summer wanting to hang on and winter wanting to take over.
Dave was making me think about election day with the weather, how that can be, they call it Republican weather. If it rains, Republicans are going to come out and the Democrats will stay home kind of stuff. With what's going on right now with all these stories about the long waits, I just got a text from a friend of mine saying it is taking forever, especially over there by Highway 79 out by Wheels. Do you guys think that this could have an effect on the election day, that people thinking like, well, if it was that bad, early voting is going to be even worse, I'm just going to stay home?
I think you run that chance, but you could look at the other way too. There's been a lot of early voting. Maybe election day will be smooth.
So it was like 50 million, I think, nationwide. Like
yeah. already, yeah,
which
yeah.
is about a third, a yeah. little less than a third of who will vote.
Yeah, we normally in the presidential years get about 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's about right.
Well, Wheels had brought up a good point, because we were talking about this off the air the other day, because I had kind of expressed that discomfort, like, oh, I hope I'll, because I have a busy day on election day. I don't have time to wait in line for 2 hours. I just don't.
Like, literally.
But he brought up the great point of, like, there's a limited amount of early voting polling places open right now.
Yes.
Right,
on election day, there's going to be tons of places open, so it shouldn't be as bad.
Yeah, I mean, the only year that I've ever had a line to vote for a presidential election was 2020.
Yeah, and that was COVID.
And that was COVID, and they changed the locations and all of that. Prior to 2020, no matter where I was, we're out where I live in St. Charles County, it was go in, you're in and out in 20 minutes, mm-hmm. almost every time.
Got a couple headlines, Rach? Go ahead, Dave.
Let's go around the room just real quick. election day.
Everyone say who you're voting for.
Who are you voting for, guys?
No, nobody's voted yet. You're going to vote on election day. If you get to your polling site and the wait is one, maybe hour and a half, do you turn around and go back to your car or do you stand in line?
It would have, like, Rach. Rach is busier than me on election day because she's doing a lot of stuff for KMOX, but it would have to be me missing the show. I mean, I wouldn't want to stand there for 4 or 5 hours, but realistically, an hour, 2 hours, I'm going to hang.
I mean, even 2020, when we had the extra wait because of all of the COVID precautions and all of that, it was only an hour and a half. And that was as long as I've ever experienced. So, yeah, I'd stand through. I did. It was hot. That day was hot. We were all getting sunburned waiting in line outside. It was hot.
My big concern is that it's a 20-inch long ballot, and it's taking people like 40 minutes. You know, that if they go in there sight unseen, and if they care, they don't just like, you know, rifle through or vote for one, you know, top of ticket. It's taking people like between half an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good recommendation. I think Amy said this the other day, but do a little bit of homework before you go.
Yeah,
if you want to speed up your own process.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing it. Yes, I'm doing it for everybody else, but I also am doing it because I don't want to be in the booth for 40 minutes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to do a really quick headline?
Yeah.
This is actually about politics, so it's very apropos. A flight was delayed out of Heathrow Airport in London over a very silly reason. Two American women reportedly got in a fist fight on Monday after one took offense to the other's outfit. Would anyone like to guess what the other person was wearing?
Tube top.
Three-piece suit.
Andrew's closest. It was a red MAGA hat. The passenger didn't like the hat and asked the other passenger to remove it. The other woman declined, as she has the right to do, at which point punches were allegedly thrown in the terminal. Somehow, these women were still permitted to board the flight, but then they were both in premium economy, and they adopted a fighting stance, like they were going to go at it again. The captain had to call for assistance, and police officers ended up escorting them off the aircraft, where they continued to exchange obscenities. Wow. Now, neither woman was arrested, but how embarrassing.
I wish they both would have been. Yeah. I'm with you, Wheels. We need more deterrence.
Probably should have been.
I'm all for anybody doing stuff like that in public places. At the very least, being hauled off in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I understand that prosecutors might have bigger priorities, and they might say, this is not a big deal. That's fine. But at least you're going to get that little bit of fear of God, like, uh-oh. My day, not only is my day ruined, but this might cause me big problems.
Right.
I just can't imagine getting into a fist fight with someone because I didn't like their hat. Like, just, it's not going to hurt you. Just sit in your seat. You'll be okay.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.